the lower parts of the earth. In our previous consideration of paradise, it was noted that the descent into Hades of our Lord Jesus after his redeeming sacrifice on the cross had a profound effect on the situation and state of the faithful dead. Before this, they were in Abraham's bosom, but after this, they are found in paradise. Luke 23:43, 2 Corinthians 12:4. Our Lord Jesus does not present the story of Dives and Lazarus as a parable, but as a fact. It was addressed to the Pharisees, that is, to an Israelite audience of his contemporaries well acquainted with the Old Testament. He spoke of the two divisions of Sheol, Hades and Abraham's bosom. That was the division which godly pre-Christian students had discerned from the Old Testament scriptures. Christ confirmed this teaching, and his hearers accepted it without question. What was believed on these matters by the Jews in our Lord's day can be read in Josephus's Discourse to the Greeks Concerning Hades, in his Antiquities, in Whiston's Josephus. But as we have seen, after Christ's death and resurrection, there was a change in the location of the blessed dead. When he ascended on high, we read, he led a multitude of captives and gave gifts to men, Ephesians 4:8. The first stage of his ascension was unquestionably from Abraham's bosom section of Sheol to paradise. This he taught when he said to Mary, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father." Though he had already ascended from Sheol, Abraham's bosom, to paradise, and also risen from the tomb. But of course, preceding this ascent, his descent was into the lower parts of the earth. In the passage of Ephesians, the leading of a multitude of captives precedes his giving gifts to men. These gifts were for men. They were for his redeemed on the earth. This took place when he gave the gift of the Holy Spirit, who is the distributor of all gifts. The multitude of captives are not described as men. Indeed, they are, as it were, contrasted with them in this passage. It is stated that he led these when he ascended on high. As this ascension began in the lower parts of the earth, and was coincident with the leading of this multitude, it was clearly from that reason that these captives were liberated. Notice, the word simply says on high, that is up, to an elevation. But of Christ, it is also said later that he ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. This is the second stage of his ascension, which took place in his glorified body from the Mount of Olives, when he entered into heaven itself, into the holiest, and sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, thus bringing glory to God in the highest. As this leading up of captives took place at Christ's rising from the lower parts of the earth, he clearly does not speak of the bodily resurrection of these captives, for at that time the first resurrection, the resurrection of the just, did not take place. It is yet future. To summarize this teaching, Christ first ascended into Abraham's bosom, and thence immediately ascended up to paradise, bringing a multitude of captives with him. This we know, for he promised the penitent thief, "Today, before his bodily resurrection, shalt thou be with me in paradise." We learn that paradise is not in the same location as Abraham's bosom, for Christ ascended with his delivered ones into paradise. This is confirmed by Paul when he says that he was caught up to the third heaven, to paradise. For from paradise, Christ returned to earth and his bodily resurrection accomplished, he ascended up above all the heavens, above the cloudy heavens, above the starry heavens, above even the paradise section of the third heaven, right into heaven itself, to the right hand of the Majesty on high. As his ascent was to a real celestial location, where he is now in his body, his descent must first have been to, and then from, a real location. Have we any light given to us in the scriptures as to where this place is? Most emphatically, yes. For it is said that he descended into Hades, into the lower parts of the earth. We read of this place in the lower parts of the earth in Psalm 63:9. They that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. Obviously, in this case, to the Hades division of Sheol, and not to Abraham's bosom. In Psalm 16, the Lord Jesus says prophetically, "Thou wilt not leave my soul in Hades, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." Here, distinguishing the ascent of his soul from Abraham's bosom, from his bodily resurrection from the tomb, "Thou wilt not leave my soul in Hades, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." In 1 Samuel 28:13, when God sent Samuel up to talk to Saul, the woman said, "I saw God ascending out of the earth." This was Samuel's spirit. And he says to Saul, "Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up?" Showing that in his division of the lower parts of the earth he was at rest, like Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. Again in Isaiah 14, speaking of the king of Babylon, is written, "Hades from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. Thy pomp is brought down to the grave. Yea, thou shalt be brought down to the grave, to the pit." This is the man who said in his heart, "I will ascend into heaven. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will seat myself in the throne of God." As we have seen, this is just what Christ has done, ascended above the heights of the clouds and seated himself in the throne of God. Antichrist will attempt this rebellious usurpation and fail miserably. It is a man who attempts to do this and is brought down to the pit, because it says, "Is this the man made the earth to tremble?" In this connection, the incident related in Numbers 16:28-35 is most significant. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram had revolted against Moses and Aaron, God's appointed representatives. They had attempted to usurp their functions in the tabernacle, the house of God. Moses says in verse 29, "If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they would go down quick into the pit, then shall he understand that these men have provoked the Lord, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up. They and all that obtained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them." Can we not see in this fate the fate of Antichrist foreshadowed? In Revelation 19:20, it says, "And the beast was taken, and the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that had worshipped his image. These were both cast alive into a lake burning with fire and brimstone." These men had revolted against Christ, our prophet, priest, and king. They had attempted to enter into the tabernacle of God in heaven to usurp the place and function of our great high priest. They will suffer the fate of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, literally, and their spiritual punishment even more severe. In Ezekiel 31:14, speaking of Pharaoh and his multitude, it says, "For all they are delivered to death to the nether parts of the earth, in the midst of the children of men with them that go down to the pit." These expressions are repeated in Ezekiel 32:18. It is clear that the Old Testament teaches that the place of departed spirits of both the rebellious and righteous dead was far beneath the earth's surface. It was a subterranean region. In the New Testament, we read of Dives being in Hades and seeing Lazarus afar off. That Hades was divided into two regions is clear from Abraham's words, "Between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed." Christ himself does not indicate where this abode of the departed lies, but in Revelation 9:1 we read, "I saw a star fall from heaven to earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. When the bottomless pit is opened and demon locusts descend to the earth's surface, the former, smoke, darkens the air and the sun. And in Revelation 11:7 it is written, "The beast," that is Antichrist, "that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against the two witnesses." Here it is clearly taught that a man had been incarcerated under the earth, the same person, I believe, as is described in Isaiah 14. In Philippians 2:10-11 it is written that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord, so that under the earth there are beings who will bow the knee and confess with the tongue. That is, they are men. They have not their bodies yet. But at the resurrection of Revelation 20:13, when the Dead Sea gives up the dead which are in it, and death and Hades deliver up the dead which are in them, they will certainly bow the knee. In this passage, Revelation 20, paradise is not said to give up the dead which are in it. For those have already joined their glorified bodies in the first resurrection at our Lord's coming for his saints. 1 Corinthians 15:52. Note that when Christ descends with a shout from the holiest of all through paradise, he brings with him the spirits of those that sleep in Jesus from paradise to rejoin their glorified bodies. They that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him when he descends from heaven with a shout, precisely to join their resurrected glorified bodies, precisely as he did himself when he arose. Peter speaks of the place of departed unbelievers in 1 Peter 3:19-20, where he writes of the spirits which are now in prison, which were sometimes disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. We thus conclude from Scripture that somewhere in the lower parts of the earth lies the abode or concentration camp of the souls of the disobedient dead. There are many scientific theories concerning the composition and state of matter with the interior of the earth. One of these, the latest, concerned with what is known as the crustal shift hypothesis, describes the earth as composed of a rigid core about 3,000 miles in diameter, surrounded by a zone of fiery, molten material about 1,300 miles in thickness, and over this a solid crust of about 1,000 miles in depth. And it is generally conceded that in the interior of the earth there's a mass or lake of molten rock and lava, which is always associated, at least in volcanic eruptions, with burning sulfur, brimstone. Job probably refers to this place in that majestic passage beginning, "Surely there is a vein for silver and a place for gold where they will find it." And later in this passage he says, "As for the earth, out of it comes bread, and under it is turned up as fire." But there are very few geophysical facts on which to base any definite conclusions, and it is difficult to conceive how there could be. This is a condition of affairs which gives point to the passage, "Say not in thine heart, who shall descend into the deep," that is to bring up Christ from the dead. If the above theory is correct, there is a subterranean lake of fire and brimstone of bottomless extent, the only contained space which can be said to be bottomless pit is a sphere, a hollow sphere, a bottomless pit in the lower parts of the earth. No one who believes in the existence of the soul and its immortality would say that this could not be the prison of the spirits of the departed dead. The Bible strongly indicates that it is so. Man is now trying to ascend into heaven for the avowed purpose, as far as the communists are concerned, to dethrone, to bring down Christ from above. The efforts to do this have been philosophical and spiritual in the past. Now they are physical, material attempts. These efforts will meet with failure, and those who make them will soon demonstrate in their own persons that it is fatal to climb up to God's heaven some other way. Revelation 19:20 and Isaiah 14 prophesy this and show that these men, who think it not robbery to be equal with God, will find that far from ascending into heaven, they will be consigned to the nether parts of the earth. No instructed believer denies that the attempt to climb up to heaven some other way has a spiritual aspect, but today it obviously has a material aspect as well. But the ultra-spiritualizing school has nebulized the predictions concerning the second coming of Christ and many of the plain statements or facts of Scripture as well, though these also in many cases are carefully described as physical, precisely located, and accompanied by unquestionably material events, both celestial and terrestrial. Thus they have so emasculated them, so deprived them of any reality, that they are no encouragement to believers or warning to sinners. Our brethren should ponder our Lord's words, "If I have told you of earthly things and ye did not believe, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things?" An unbeliever who listens to spiritualizers explaining away the clear, intelligible predictions of the prophets, Christ and the New Testament writers, which he can understand, immediately detects a thinly veiled unbelief in the Scriptures, which prevents him from accepting their no doubt sincere teaching concerning the reality and spiritual value of Christ's work at his first coming. Finally, it is submitted that as paradise, where the spirits of the just men awaiting entrance into heaven itself, is a real material location, otherwise where is Elijah's body, a place situated above the earth, above the cloudy and starry heavens, so Hades is a real material place situated beneath the earth's surface, where dwell the spirits of rebellious men awaiting their entrance into hell.